At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back in. It's Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Special ingredient butcher shop, 3 Lincoln locations and 1 up in Omaha. Austin and DP with you another couple hours here on Old School. Corner 3 will come your way from 6 to 7 tonight as well. We will get to the Husker football depth chart when the time is right. But we are having fun with the best baseball nicknames. 402-464-5685. I got to throw my own in there. Okay. I was just OER. Got that one my sophomore year when I started varsity. And at the end of the year, the upperclassman said, "Or, here you go," and gave me a full-on wooden boat paddle. They gave me an oar.
That's classic.
Then they signed at my graduation party.
I was Hollywood.
Ooh, okay.
I was Hollywood from my junior year in high school. One of my running buddies, so he was number 25, but he was a corner, and his name was Bill Knight, and we nicknamed him Broadway Bill because he had a little, you know, for a white guy, he was a little flashy, so they called him Broadway. He was number 25 and I was number 26, and he was Broadway and I was Hollywood.
I like it.
I was Hollywood. We both had a little swagger to us. And, in the day we were the only two that wore the white towel in the front.
Nice. Like
we both wore white cleats going against the black Puma norm. we were the two white cleat, white towel. Mm-hmm. I black. Yeah. Oh,
the works.
Yeah.
Let's get to the text line here real quick. Brad says, "What about the Bash Brothers?
Bash Brothers is
a co-nickname."
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
I don't know how many. What was Whitaker and Trammell? Like Detroit had some. You know, of course they're Trammell and Whitaker.
I don't know.
Did
they have one?
For whatever reason, I thought they did. A Big Red Machine is when you talk about unit.
The team.
Right?
Murder's Row.
Murder's Row fell in line. I don't know that the Dodgers went away from that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Penguin had his, but I don't remember any of the other Dodgers having a nickname, right? Killer Bees. Ricky being Ricky, but the Man of Steel was Ricky
Henderson.
Yeah, he was the Man mm-hmm. of Steel. I'm trying to think of who in those spaces got credit for having the names.
Yeah,
but there were always those that had, we were trying to figure out if you said Doc, which Doc comes to mind first?
Drop of a hat, I go Gooden.
Right? The Doc Holliday, mm-hmm. Doc Ellis. What's the Doc from The Natural? I mean, from Field of Dreams.
Yeah.
Who's the Doc from
Field of Dreams? No, I know who you're talking about.
Right? Yeah. Bambino's Chipper counts because his real name's Larry.
Larry,
which is
Moonlight Graham.
Moonlight Graham certainly falls in. One of my favorites isn't used much, but Ariba for Roberto Clemente.
Okay.
Calling him Robbie and Bob for Roberto he was certainly not a Bob, but the Americanization of Pittsburgh trying to get Roberto Clemente to be one of them and calling him Bob. It was like, no, No, that's Roberto. That is Roberto. That is
the other one that you and I went back and forth on when you say
the kid.
The kid. Whether it's the kid or kid. Because I think Ken Griffey Jr. Yeah. But before him was
Gary Carter. Gary Carter had it. Remember, they're on Gary had it first. So that certainly plays. Big Cat.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Big Cat Ohio is so Husker. Good. I loved Andre Scalarraga. Even his Montreal days, and then when he came to Atlanta, and when he played with, and the fact that it was him and Crime Dog back to back. I didn't love that at all. Eck was good. Fireman. Eck was the name, though.
That but Fireman is a role, more than a nickname.
Yeah.
At least anymore.
Like Goose Gossage.
Goose.
Andre Dawson, the Hawk.
Yep. The Hawk. Rhino.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, it's tough thinking that he just left us.
I know.
And did we know... Is there another great superstar that we know as little about as we do Ryan Sandberg?
Probably not.
Right? That we don't know. We literally know less about Rhino and that he was the best player in the game. There was a stretch.
Like at the moment.
A 3 or 4 year stretch, right? Big Hurt. It's good to see him still out there. I'm trying to think of Sarge. From the Braves, Gary Matthews.
Okay.
Gary Matthews called Sarge. The best thing about Sarge was that Sarge had a half row. So he had an afro. It wasn't Gary Maddox big, but it was enough that whenever he would hit a ball into the gap and know that it was an extra base, his batting helmet, he would just knock it off and start running. Oh, it was the best. Yeah. It was the best. It was the best. Wizard of Oz. Yep. Candyman. John Candelaria. What was Bruce Keeson? Sidewinder? They had a name for Bruce Keeson. Oh, no. Kent Tekovi. Yeah. Yeah. Tim Rock Reigns. And he actually wanted to formally change his name to Rock. And you had to call him Rock. So when he went to Baltimore, they would announce him as Rock Reigns. He bought all the way into this thing. Yeah, the professor. Yeah, Mad Dog Maddox. Mad Dog. That's kind of my jam for Maddox. There are those that if you went by through the teams, Herbie and Ken Herbie, Puck.
Kirby Puckett.
Yep. Like you can go through Gaetti. Didn't Gaetti and Herbie have a name together? Like I thought they may have had kind of a together name thing. Because they were just two big guys just out there having fun. What was the Mets had one. So Rusty Staub was Big Red.
Ah, okay.
He was Big Red. Rusty, man, great white dude, red afro. Great. Rusty Staub was a hitter. He was he played first base for the Expos. Mm-hmm. Oh, Le Grand Orange. That's what they called it. That's what it was.
Le Grand Orange
for Rusty Staub. That was, I had to reach back for that one. Surprise! I still.
We are missing out on nicknames in modern baseball. Like you have Vladito, right, from Vladdy.
Yeah.
And Vladdy Jr. Obviously.
Well, but no one
calls. Yeah, right. No one calls Mike Trout the Millville Meteor.
No.
You know, no one calls him that. You have your A Rods. You had your K Rod. Julio Rodriguez is not worthy of the J Rod
right
moniker quite right yet.
Right. I'm mad. Nails. Nails, good, great pull. Nails, great pull. That is a great pull, man. Aaron, well done. Stash for Raleigh Fingers,
sure.
But he was maybe the original fireman, either him or Goose Gossage.
Yeah, between them.
Was there. Bruce Sutter never had one, and I was disappointed that he never really gave us one. I was having this conversation because the nickname thing crosses over. And they were talking about nicknames in football, and they used the Georgia Peach for Tarkenton. But I was like, yeah, but he was born in Richmond, Virginia, bro. Like, give us some love. Like, give us some love. Mr. October, yeah, we got Magic. We were all over that. Here's the thing, though. But that was the thing that Howard Cosell gave him. And there was some friction over that. And then he also had his own candy bar. He had a Reggie candy bar. Did you ever have that?
No, I didn't know that was a thing.
He had, a Reggie. It was a chocolate bar that was sold, I want to say 10-year stretch. 10-year stretch of
really?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Actually pretty good. Huh. Pretty good. As a matter of fact, you think about it.
The more you know.
He and Babe are the only two I can think of that had candy bars. That would be a thing. How many athletes had candy named after them? Yep. Jim Catfish Hunter. Charlie Hustle certainly falls into it.
The Albert Bell bar.
Stop it. Joey Bell had a candy bar. Joey Bell. Albert Joey Bell. And if
I'm showing you a picture of it.
Bruh, that is spectacular that he had a candy bar.
Wade Boggs, the 352 bar. But Chicken Man.
Chicken Man had a Boggs had a candy bar. Who else? Keep going. Albert,
okay.
That is fantastic.
Jose Canseco, the 40-40 bar.
That one writes its own. That joke writes its own.
Ty Cobb, Milk Caramel Nut Bar. Warren Cromartie, the Crow Bar.
The Crow Bar! That is outstanding. Another...
Oh, Cecil Fielder Bar.
Oh, that was all chocolate. Brand. That was all chocolate. Yeah, that was all chocolate, wasn't it?
Oh, apparently the kid got one. The kid.
Really? King Griffey had his own candy bar.
Apparently.
I missed it.
Tony Gwynn base hit candy bar.
Shut up. See, now I'm going to mission to get all of those candy bars.
I will send you this link.
Yes. Because
Travis Hafner did a Pronk bar in the same style as the Albert Bell.
Oh, that was so good. That was so good. I almost got... Albert Bell threatened to beat me up in a hotel elevator in Baltimore because I called him Joey.
Oh no!
Because I knew him from LSU.
Uh huh.
And back then he was Joey Bell. Gotcha. So
Chipper.
Chipper had a was that all peanuts?
This milk chocolate candy has crisped rice but no peanuts.
Okay. Okay.
David Justice Bar.
Shut up! Shut up! A Justice Bar. Yo, and he was in the news recently. Did you catch the story?
No, I did not.
Someone got him on a podcast and got him to talk about his time with Halle Berry.
Ah.
And he said that
Strick's biggest bag fumble.
Right. Well, but David Justice validated Strick by saying, listen, she didn't cook or clean. And then but then you lead to the argument.
She's Halle Berry.
Like if you're marrying Halle Berry, do you really care? But then you have to be careful how you answer, because whatever answer you give for Halle Berry, you have to give for your wife.
Right.
So
Mark McGuire.
McGuire had a candy bar.
Let me read the description for this one.
Yeah.
Each box of the ultimate Max X bar from Mark McGuire includes an all-star bat photo display. And four health bars with a candy bar taste. Two peanut butter Max X bars and two chocolate chip. Half of revenue support physically challenged American workers, creating additional jobs.
I have no idea.
The Moose Bar. Mike Messina.
That is spectacular.
Jonathan Papelbon with Papelbon bonds.
I just got a text that Johnny Manziel had a Snickers bar. What is happening here?
Kirby Puckett.
Kirby had really?
Oh, the Cal bar? Cal Ripken Jr. had one?
I know nothing about that. I know nothing. I was a Cal guy, and I know nothing about it.
Released his own candy bar from Morley Candy Makers in 93. A double play of peanuts and caramel in milk chocolate.
No idea. Did you know that Maria Sharapova had a Sugarpova candy?
Sugarpova.
And Ken Griffey, apparently he had a milk chocolate, he had a blue and a gold one. That is remarkable.
There was a Big Hurt bar.
No way. Did Carmelo Anthony had a Mellow bar?
Oh, incredible.
Mark Price from the Cleveland Cavaliers had a, what are we doing? Shaq had a candy bar in called Mr. Big.
Mr. Big.
Alexander Ovechkin had a candy bar called The Big Deal.
I'm sending this to you now in case you want to track some of these down. Sending you the link.
Hey, Isaiah Thomas had an Isaiah bar.
Zeke had one?
But how do you not name it the Zeke bar?
Seriously.
They named it the...
He Zeked when everyone else zagged.
Muhammad Ali had a candy bar. He called the greatest. He had a candy bar called the greatest. Boomer Esiason had a Boomer bar.
Oh, apparently Boomer got a generic invitation to Bengals Hall of Fame weekend, and he read his invitation on air. You pay for your own travel, you pay for your own lodging. Thanks for that, Boomer.
Man, that is spectacular. That is so good. That is so good. Well, Mario Andretti had an Andretti bar. Red Grange, the GOAT. This is the one. Red Grange had a milk chocolate nut bar released back in 1926. That is spectacular.
Red Ghost Grange.
Get it, man. Get it. That is so good. But how did I not know that Cal Ripken had a candy bar?
The Cal bar.
I
manufactured his own.
I don't even, and there's none now. Like, right? Like, I'm not missing.
I don't think so. I mean, they're more partnerships, but not branded.
Yeah,
like
branded.
That.
Yeah. Brett Favre had a candy bar?
Of course he did.
Of course he did.
Of course he did. That
Brett Favre had a candy bar. Reggie White had a.
The Minister of Defense had a candy bar.
Hey, Aaron Rodgers has quarterback gummies. Stop it with my life.
Of course he does.
Stop it with my life. That is so, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That is so, listen, I literally, this is, I will become obsessed by this to go and find these next week. At some point, we're going to have as many of these that we can put together we are going to taste as many of these. Now, of course, it'll be next Friday. Maybe we'll do it Thursday.
Man.
That is so.
I would pick a favorite, but I can't.
JC said, look, this qualifies. This might be the GOAT. He said Walt Payton had the sweetness bar. He had the sweetness bar. You guys have just burned my brain to the ground. You have crashed my brain to the ground. The fact that these things exist. And we were unaware.
So what I'm finding from ChicagoBarProject.com is that the Sweetness Bar was an actual physical establishment, but he owned it. So they called it the Sweetness Bar, but it was actually like a drinking establishment, not a candy bar.
Now, if you really want to go down the rabbit hole, athletes with bars, you literally would not
best athlete bar you set foot in before we go to break?
Athlete in quotes. Athlete. Okay. Junior Seau in San Diego. Junior Seau had a steakhouse and bar that was on par with anything, but the greatest sports bar I've ever been into belonged to Mike Fratello of the Atlanta Hawks. He had the premier sports bar in the country named Frankie's in Atlanta. I want to tell you that it's my guess that they had 150 TVs in the sports bar.
Woo!
Back in the 90s. Frankie's in Atlanta. And let me tell you, the food, and they had like 15 satellites to bring in whatever event. Frankie's in Atlanta was the premier. It was my North Star.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change. Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free. Select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams. One coat coverage, interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at the time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
I ran, ready for this? Greavy's Sports Bar for Kevin Greavy of the Washington Bullets. Ah. I ran his bar in Fairfax, Virginia, and it was epic. It was the home it was the home of the Buffalo Bills fan club and Kentucky. Okay. And the Kentucky Wildcats. And okay. We watched, matter of fact, Tubby Smith would venture in all the time because they were buddies from Kentucky. Those were probably as good as I can think of.
Incredible. We'll go to break. More Old School on the other side.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Welcome back to it, Old School. This segment brought to you by Heartland of Nebraska Windows. They're based out of Pelham, Nebraska. They offer a free estimate, full window replacements, all vinyl triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while keeping their prices affordable. They're locally and family-owned with their own team of installers. Give them a call today for more information at 402-430-3852, or you can visit them online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. We would be remiss if we didn't acknowledge the hubbub, the traffic going on just outside our window, about an hour and a half away from first serve of the season for Nebraska volleyball. Huskers hosting Pitt as part of the AVCA showcase. That's a top three matchup, I believe, between Nebraska and Pitt. Absolutely loaded. Lots of different angles we can go with that. But first, DP, I want to shout out. We know Dylan Raiola signed his deal with Adidas. So did Harper Murray. They put her likeness up on the outside of the library. And you talk about do the simple thing, right? Don't miss the layup. Did Adidas know that Nebraska has a, wait for it, Harper Hall?
No, they did not. And here's the interesting thing, right? If I asked you who the best player on Nebraska volleyball was, what would you say?
It's interesting. I've been thinking about this, having some volleyball conversations with people. It's hard to make the argument for any one player because of how deep Nebraska is.
Right.
You can talk about Harper Murray being the best player. I think especially...
Most important?
Maybe.
Most valuable?
Maybe. Let me work around to it, because maybe it's because Nebraska has been playing so lights out incredibly well defensively under John Cook for the better part of 15 years. Mm-hmm. It feels like when Nebraska got beat, it got beat by offense. Mm-hmm. When Nebraska won titles, it was behind the offensive attack in a lot of ways of Mikayla Fecky putting a team on her back. Harper Murray ascending to that level might make her the most important. But is she the running back, right? She needs people to block for her, right? Or set her up for success, right? Bergen Riley, mm-hmm. we know the setter is the heartbeat of any team. Mm-hmm. Like a quarterback, she might be the best, probably is the best setter in America. If you're the best setter in the Big Ten, as she's been 2 years in a row, you're probably the best setter in the country. Mm-hmm. And that's got to say something. You have two incredible middles, obviously, and Rebecca Alec and Andy Jackson, who have their own set of skills. I think about it this way, DP. I think Harper Murray is probably the most important just by virtue of the role she plays. She's going to lead Nebraska in scoring, and that's got to stand for something. But I don't think it's Harper Murray's team. I think it's Rebecca Alec's team, and I think that means just as much.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if you ask me who's the sauce, right? And the sauce, it might be Lainey Choboy.
Could be.
Right? Like, I don't know.
A fun battle between her and Balk for libero.
Right? Like, this is the thing about how good this team is. And it's interesting to me because the number of people who talked to me about Virginia Adriano, mm-hmm. and that she is a pro. She's a pro. She's a pro. And mm-hmm. if you're scouting old Nebraska, she's a problem. Mm-hmm. She's a problem. Mm-hmm. I thought that Lanfair was the most electric player.
When she's on.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That. Mm-hmm.
At a position of need, opposite.
On a run, she's as good as anybody in the country, even on this roster. Mm-hmm. So, and then I think the most underrated hero in the Nebraska volleyball program is assistant coach. Because quite frankly, the work that's being done the management, the people management that Jalen Reyes brings to the table, not by himself, mm-hmm. but just to call out a name and say that Jalen Reyes, what he does for Nebraska volleyball in that space and what he allows to happen, and for Danny Busbaum Kelly to manage in a different space to be able to keep the continuity and the training and the verbiage in place. I think all of that plays, because I don't know, there is a reigning defending national champion in town. In town. Uh-huh. With a chip on their shoulder and some We Are shirts that they're wearing proudly through the Haymarket. Oh, and there's number 3 Pitt. And number 6 Stanford in your immediate future. So it's a big night on Fox Network. Network
Big
television.
Big Fox.
Big Fox.
God and everybody.
Right? We're the Fox. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pecan Pie, it's the thing. Again, that is the discussion, that Bergen may be the most valuable. Heartbeat, all of those things.
And here's the funny part. Nebraska didn't name her the first year starter because of how good Campbell Flynn is.
Right. Right. That I found interest. I found it intriguing to have Danny Busbaum Kelly talk about redshirting and those discussions and decisions that have to be made and when, mm-hmm. right? The season will take its own turns based on its own schedule and knock on the table with injury and that sort of thing, which always is a part of it, whether you like it or not. But having options and then choosing how you're going to manage this roster.
Speaking of options, right? You talk about Penn State, right? Nebraska lost a couple options there in Maggie Mendelsohn and Caroline Jurevicius, who had a great game against Nebraska a couple different times. Here's another name we haven't mentioned, DP Skylar Pierce. That's a top five player in the country last year who redshirted behind talent and would start for 98% of other programs in America.
You said
and she
it.
Is still scrapping, fighting, and clawing just to see the dang court.
That, I mean, when you talk about knowing the space, and then with Kansas being in town as well as a part of this thing, right? That whispering across the fence, hey, how are things going over there? You getting from it what you need to get from it? Yeah, we understand now the business side of it and how it's being played out. But again, shout out to the Coaches Association for putting this together, bringing this event, all eyes of college volleyball on Lincoln, Nebraska and Pinnacle Bank Arena.
Obviously, we're a sports station. That's our primary focus. But DP, as a Lincolnite born and raised, getting an event like this, the AVCA First Serve Showcase to Lincoln, is incredible. Speaks to Nebraska volleyball, city of Lincoln, all sorts of great people is involved in that as well. But you know, it's also got a couple more days in town. You got Frozen going on. Three nights. Like, Lincoln is not a big city. It's big for Nebraska. It's not a big city in terms of big cities. It's cool to see Lincoln this buzzing, this popping, where you're having two big events. Like, Frozen is still pretty darn full down there. Oh, and you're going to have 15,000 people down at Pinnacle Bank Arena for a volleyball game on top of normal Friday night stuff with school getting back in
three
session.
Three nights up.
It's incredible.
And, you know, shout out Peter Crowbell, you know, the Lincoln Challenger, the pro tennis tour coming to Lincoln in October. Like, Lincoln is evolving in front of us. And if you're paying attention to it, especially on the sports vacuum, that it's evolving forward and up. And you have to be proud of what happens. And again, they could have gone, this could have happened in Happy Valley. This could have happened at Pitt. This could have happened at Stanford. This could have happened at Texas, Baylor. This could have been in Austin, Texas. Just as easy to get in, easy to get out of. It's all those things. And Lincoln is the spot, and bravo for it.
Lots on the docket for Nebraska volleyball. Of course, a rather challenging non-conference slate for the Huskers. But DP, that's what you sign up for when you're a program of Nebraska's caliber. We have this discussion a lot in college football. Oh, why are the top teams not playing the top teams? Why are they ducking each other till the playoffs or until the bowl game? When you're a top program and you know you're a top program and you're not scared to walk the walk, you schedule like Nebraska volleyball does, right? Pitt, Stanford, road game at Lipscomb in Tennessee before you play Kentucky in Nashville.
That's my brother's alma mater.
I
have Lipscomb. He's in the Lipscomb Hall. I actually have Lipscomb hoodies.
Nice.
I won't wear them that day, but still.
Then you host your own challenge. Wright State and Cal come to the Bob. You bring Utah and Grand Canyon for another little challenge. You'll play at Creighton and Omaha this year, and then a pretty talented Arizona team in just about a month from today in September before you get into really the teeth of Big Ten play, where your first road weekend, back-to-back days, Friday night at Penn State in Rec Hall. And then you go to Rutgers, you know, play at the Rack. It's Jersey Mike's Arena, but it's the Rack. Not that Rutgers has ever really scared Nebraska, but that's back-to-back emotional day before. Even just in the next month, Nebraska is going to be tested.
And it doesn't get easy. I mean, you're talking about an East Lansing and Ann Arbor back-to-back, or, you know, two and three nights, which is tough, and that's October. So the weather starts to turn on you a little bit. You go to Madison, Wisconsin, and deal with all of that. You got to go to Minnesota in November. Thank goodness you get the LA tour. And we saw what that did last year. That put some dents in the armor as well. So it's interesting. And then you close the season with Penn State here and Ohio State here.
That's going to be great because that's Black Friday and Nebraska hosts Iowa. You get the Nebraska-Iowa football game early or late morning, early afternoon, feeding right into Penn State volleyball, the Bob.
2 hours in between. Yes. Three hours in between
Fire me up
to get that done. I'll ask you this question for the next segment because I would think that it may take some time to delve into it. But with the discussion of the SEC and nine games being played in conference, I need to ask you a different kind of question. That if your conference is the poo, as you like, as kids like to say, if you're the poo and you play 12 games in the season, why wouldn't you just play all 12 games in the big in the SEC or the Big Ten? What if you're really making the statement of giving value to your fans, to your players, to the conference itself, to your business partners, television, radio, sponsorships along there, recruiting, all those things. If you are really who you say you are, if you are Alabama, why would you not want to play 12 big SEC games? If you're Nebraska, is there more value in Ohio State coming to town than Akron? Is there more financial value and more financial benefit in having Wisconsin come to town instead of Houston Christian? Right? That it's more value to Wisconsin to have Nebraska come there. Mm-hmm. Why is it that we keep thinking that the non-cons make sense when, quite frankly, there are Big Ten teams that aren't maybe not good teams, but they still have more financial and relationship value than Akron and Houston Christian. So why not? Why would you not play 12 Big Ten football games and get a true champion and have real financial value for the Big Ten Conference?
Why and why not? We'll tell you after break.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Putting a bow on hour two of Old School. Don't worry, got another hour to go, leading you right up to First Serve between Nebraska and Pitt. Austin Orman, DP, with you. This segment brought to you by Love Volleyball Nebraska, who may or may not be playing a match in Pinnacle Bank Arena, may or may not be playing a match in the Bob Devaney Sports Center. Definitely stay tuned for that. Just visit lovevolleyball.com, LOVB.com. Make sure you know what's going on with Love Volleyball Nebraska. All right, DP, maybe rephrase the question for people that forgot during break or that might not have caught as they're getting in their cars.
So a lot of the sports football, college football conversation is about conference play, conference games, number of games. Currently, in some cases, specifically SEC being at 8, and then through the merger and the reformation and repower, rebranding, reseeding of college football in order to get in play, pressure to increase that number to nine SEC, nine conference games, Big Ten in the same conversation. There are 18 Big Ten football teams, 18. So if you said to me that the Big Ten football conference, these are member partners. These are people who agree to do business together for the greatest value of the conference and themselves. And so I want to ask the basic question, why, if the Big Ten is about the Big Ten, why it needs to go outside of conference in order to generate revenue? If you're giving power to the Big Ten Conference, you're enabling the Big Ten Conference. And yes, some point of you beating up each other. But if you're the best of the best, why not play each other? And that if you're looking out for the fan, I would imagine that most Husker fans would rather watch Nebraska versus Oregon, Nebraska versus Wisconsin, Nebraska versus Indiana or Illinois than Nebraska versus Houston Christian or Nebraska versus Akron. Mm-hmm. There's more value in the ticket. There's more ratings and more money tied to the ratings, more bang for the buck for the business partners, for the sponsors, right? That if you're given representation, more bang for the buck for Fox and its affiliates or whoever's carrying Big Ten Network. Big Ten Network has more value if it is a Nebraska versus Indiana game or Nebraska versus Ohio State than Nebraska versus Akron. You went to the state to get competition. You chose Akron over Columbus. I don't know why. There's not more money in Akron than there is in Columbus.
Well, you chose Akron and Cincinnati.
Right. Like you want to be the state champion of Ohio, then go fight the one that's your partner and make value. If you're bringing in a year, you could bring in, listen, if you said to me you were going to have a neutral site game with Ohio State at Kansas City,
Make it Indianapolis.
For those folks who are going to Kansas, who would you rather go to Kansas City to see Nebraska play? Ohio State or Cincinnati? Who? And then the following week that you're going to hand out whatever amount of money you paid for your ticket for the first home game, there would be much better business and much better bang for the buck if instead of Akron, it is Ohio State or Indiana or Illinois or Oregon or Washington. And if you're the Big Ten Conference, the asset that is, gets greater value with you playing each other, right, than Houston Christian. Tell me where I'm wrong and why. You can rotate, right? Mm-hmm. You can say, okay, we'll seed. If you finish seventh, you get the seventh strongest or weakest schedule. Okay, fine. That means that these are the folks you're going to play in the same rotation that you put in play, right? That you don't play Ohio State every year. Okay, we'll rotate. But we can still find three other Big Ten opponents and leave six.
Five others.
In the rotation.
Five others out at that point. I can't tell you you're wrong. I think we're going to need some more time to expand on this. I would say my first initial thought is because the Big Ten's looking out, you know, it says it's looking out for college football, not looking out for just the Big Ten. And conference priorities are different than school priorities are different than game writ large priorities. In a business-oriented sort of mindset, yes, I think you're right. I think there are other considerations at play that, you know, that's one of them that people aren't considering. There's the most value in it. But let's go to break here because I think we need to expand on this. There's a lot to sink our teeth into. So
Give me a participation trophy opponent. Give me a real opponent. Give me a Big Ten opponent. I want to be a Big Ten champion. Give me all the Big Ten smoke.
Give me the Big Ten. We'll keep talking about this when we get back for hour three of Old School.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman. On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. You won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at hero.co. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.